Daniel's Life and Prophecies, that's the name of this series that we're going through in the evening. And so far, we've mainly been hearing of Daniel's life. Tonight, that changes. Tonight, we begin to read of Daniel's visions. And I invite you to open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 7. This chapter begins with a description of what Daniel saw in his vision, and then it records the interpretation of the vision. And tonight we're going to look at both the vision and the interpretation. So we'll be looking at the whole chapter. And I therefore ask you to keep your Bibles open to Daniel chapter 7. We're going to begin by reading just the first 8 verses. And then during the sermon, I'm actually going to be skipping around in the chapter, going between the vision and the interpretation. If you're able, I invite you now to stand for the reading of these first 8 verses. Daniel chapter 7. We stand in honor of God, recognizing this is His word to us. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, let me just pause for a moment and point out that this chapter does not follow chapter 6 chronologically. If you remember, in chapter 6, Babylon was no more, and the kingdom of Medo-Persia had risen up. So this chapter is taking us back in time before the fall of Babylon, when Belshazzar was king, and we're told here that it was the first year of King Belshazzar as king. And now we continue to read. Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head as he lay in his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel declared, "I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Then as I looked, its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and the mind of a man was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one, like a bear, it was raised up on one side. It had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and it was told, 'Arise, devour much flesh.' After this I looked, and behold, another like a leopard with 4 wings of a bird on its back, and the beast had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which 3 of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes, like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things." Let's pray together. Father, as we now look at this vision you gave Daniel many years ago, we ask you to grant us understanding that we might know what you want us to know about what is yet to come, what has occurred and what is yet to come. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, to help us make sense of this chapter and help us respond as we should, my first heading tonight is similarities between what Daniel saw and Nebuchadnezzar saw. It's been several weeks since we looked at chapter 2 of Daniel. But if you've been here for this whole series, you probably remember that in Daniel chapter 2, we learned about a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had that Daniel interpreted for him. And what I'm going to do to begin our study is highlight similarities between what Nebuchadnezzar saw in that dream in chapter 2 and what Daniel now sees in chapter 7. And the first similarity I want to highlight to you is one you cannot see in the English translation, namely, the account of both Daniel's vision and Nebuchadnezzar's dream are recorded in Aramaic. They're both recorded in Aramaic. You might not remember this, but when we looked at Daniel chapter 2, I explained that the text switches from Hebrew to Aramaic. That switch occurs in Daniel chapter 2, verse 4. That verse says, "Then the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic," and that's where the switch occurs. It goes from Hebrew now to Aramaic beginning with the quote, "O king, live forever. I tell your servants the dream. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation." And the text continues in Aramaic all the way through the end of chapter 7. So everything from Daniel chapter 2, verse 4b, through chapter 7, verse 28, it's all in Aramaic. Now, that switch from Hebrew to Aramaic and then back to the Hebrew in chapter 8 very naturally distinguishes all of those chapters from the rest of the book. And it's certainly not coincidence that Nebuchadnezzar's dream begins the Aramaic section and Daniel's vision in chapter 7 ends the Aramaic section. The vision from those two visions form bookends around this Aramaic section, which strongly indicates we're supposed to see a connection between what Nebuchadnezzar saw and what Daniel saw. And we'll see that more clearly in just a moment. But for right now, let's continue on and note these similarities. Another similarity is that both Nebuchadnezzar's dream and Daniel's vision involve four kingdoms. They both involve four kingdoms. Nebuchadnezzar's dream, you might remember, involved an image of a man made up of different substances. And when Daniel gave the interpretation to Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel explained that the different substances represent different kingdoms. We're told the same about Daniel's vision. Look at verses 15 through 17 with me. "As for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious, and the visions of my head alarmed me. I approached one of those who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of the things. These four great beasts are four kings who shall arise out of the earth." So it's very clear, both dreams involve four kingdoms. That's another similarity. Third similarity is that in both Nebuchadnezzar's dream and Daniel's vision, Babylon is the first kingdom. In Daniel chapter 2, we specifically read in the interpretation that the head of gold of that image of a man represented Babylon. So it's crystal clear in that first vision of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, we're not given a clear statement like that in Daniel's interpretation of his vision. But the first beast that Daniel sees in his vision is a very good image for Babylon. The first beast Daniel sees is of a lion with wings like an eagle. And the wings are plucked off. That's a good image of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, because Nebuchadnezzar was this majestic king. We've read about that. He was a majestic king who was humbled. His wings were plucked off. He was humbled. And if you look at the book of Jeremiah, you will see that the prophet Jeremiah uses these same two animals to describe Babylon, a lion and an eagle. So it's a safe conclusion that in both Nebuchadnezzar's dream and Daniel's vision, Babylon is the first of the four kingdoms. And a fourth similarity is this. In both, all four kingdoms fall and are replaced by an eternal kingdom. In Nebuchadnezzar's dream, you might remember, he saw a rock that brings about the fall of that whole image of a man. And the rock then becomes this great mountain, a kingdom that lasts forever. So the rock is the eternal kingdom in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And in the interpretation of Daniel's vision, we're told the same. In verse 27, we read, "And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." So in both, all four kingdoms are replaced by an eternal kingdom. Those four similarities are four similarities between what Nebuchadnezzar saw and Daniel saw. Now, once you see those similarities, you can easily then outline the Aramaic section of Daniel like this. The different colors indicate that those chapters match each other. The outer chapters match each other, and then the next chapters in match each other, and the two center chapters match each other. The second and the seventh chapters of Daniel contain a vision of four kingdoms and one eternal kingdom. Just went over that. Those are the bookends of the Aramaic section. The third and the sixth chapters contain a miraculous, mighty rescue, a salvation of God's people. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. Daniel from the lion's den. And in the fourth and fifth chapters, we see a king being dealt with. One king, Nebuchadnezzar, is humbled. The other, Belshazzar, is condemned. That flow is too neat, it's too organized to be unintentional, especially given the fact that only these chapters are in Aramaic. So we're being told something here by the flow. There's a message being given to us in this Aramaic section. And we're going to consider what that message is. But first, we need to start to consider the differences between what Daniel saw and what Nebuchadnezzar saw. The differences, that's the next major title of my outline. One difference is that Daniel's vision involves frightening beasts. Daniel's vision involves frightening beasts. His vision is terrifying. Even after the interpretation is given, Daniel is terrified. Look at the last verse of the chapter. Verse 28 says, "Here is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly alarmed me, and my color changed, but I kept the matter in my heart." Daniel's vision and interpretation was alarming in a frightening way, and Nebuchadnezzar's dream was not like that. You might remember that Nebuchadnezzar's dream troubled him. It troubled him. That's why he wanted it interpreted. But his dream wasn't frightening. Nebuchadnezzar saw an image of a man. He saw a rock destroy that man. That's not frightening. It gave him some sleepless nights because he didn't understand this dream. But it wasn't frightening. Daniel's vision of the four beasts coming up out of the sea was frightening. They were all strange beasts that can devour humans. If you had a dream and you saw vividly, very vividly, the beast Daniel saw, well, you might not want to go back to sleep the next night. Now, think about the beasts with me. First of all, Daniel saw a lion with wings, which would not be a nice animal to run into, right? A lion with wings. It would be bad enough to be chased by a lion alone, but who stands a chance against a lion with wings? There's nothing you can climb to get away from it. Does anyone remember the flying monkeys in The Wizard of Oz? Remember that? My sisters and I would watch it whenever it was on TV. And when the witch would send out those flying monkeys, we were always afraid. Flying monkeys. Who can get away from flying monkeys, right? And this is a lion with wings, a flying lion. My sisters and I would have turned off the TV if that had been in The Wizard of Oz. This is a scary beast. A lion with wings. Now, Daniel did see the wings plucked off, so that took some of the fear factor, but this started out scary. And then the next beast was like a bear, and it had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. So this beast was already devouring prey. Sometimes when you meet a bear, you have the hope that it's just looking for berries or looking for fish. I saw a bear once at Yosemite. From a very safe distance, by the way. But from that distance, you could tell, this bear wasn't interested in humans. But the bear Daniel saw was frightening because it had ribs in its mouth. It was not a bear eating berries. It was a bear eating flesh and bones. And not only did Daniel see the beast, he heard the beast be told, "Go devour much flesh." Now that's scary. The third beast Daniel saw was worse. He saw a leopard with four wings of a bird on its back, and it also had four heads. The third beast made the first beast look wimpy now. Four heads with teeth, that can do a lot of damage. When you're being chased by a four-headed beast, no matter which way you run, whether you turn left or turn right or go straight, that beast can bite you. And if you try to climb, well, it's got wings and it can catch you. My sisters and I had seen that on The Wizard of Oz. We wouldn't have slept for a whole week. The third beast is a nasty beast in Daniel's dream. But the fourth beast This is the worst of all. Daniel declares that truth to us. Look at verse 7 again. After this, in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, terrified, dreadful, exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth that devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. It's not clear what this beast looked like because it wasn't really like a natural beast. 10 horns, iron teeth. And not only did it devour its prey, it stamped on its prey. This was a strange, ferocious beast. You know, you can sometimes look at something, someone, or something, and just feel that it's evil, just feels evil. I submit to you, this beast especially felt evil in Daniel's vision. That's the difference. That's a difference between what Daniel saw and what Nebuchadnezzar saw. These beasts were frightening. Now, why was Daniel being shown this? What's the message here about these frightening beasts? What's this difference all about between what Nebuchadnezzar saw and what Daniel saw? Both Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel saw four kingdoms. But when Daniel saw those four kingdoms, they were frightening. Why? Why this difference? Here's the answer I submit to you. Daniel was being shown that the kingdoms of this world will be beasts towards God's people. Daniel was being shown the clash that always exists between the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of God, God's people. The kingdoms of this world will want to devour God's people, Christians. Look at the flow of the Aramaic section again. What we see are two examples of God's people being persecuted. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fire furnace under the kingdom of Babylon. Daniel thrown into the lion's den under the kingdom of Medo-Persia. So we have two examples of attacks on Christians. And then we're told of Daniel's vision in which he's shown these kingdoms that can attack and devour, that are being called to devour. So we're being shown in this Aramaic section as a whole that the kingdoms of this world will always be against God's people, Christians. Sometimes we Christians will have it easier than other times. But sometimes harder. And there will always be a clash between the kingdoms of this world and God's people. And over time, it's going to get worse. As kingdoms come and kingdoms go, the beasts are going to get uglier and scarier. I think we can see that today from our place in history, can't we? And I think we have a bit of an understanding about this. We are united to Christ. We celebrated that tonight. We are united to Christ. And the world doesn't like Christ. And so the world is against us. The kingdoms of the world are against God's people. And there's far more persecution of Christians today than there was in the days of the apostles. It's getting worse. The beasts are getting uglier. Clash between the kingdoms of this world and the kingdoms of God is one of the main messages of chapter 7 in this whole Aramaic section. Let me put it this way. Daniel's dream was different than Nebuchadnezzar's dream because Daniel was seeing how it's going to be for God's people. Nebuchadnezzar was seeing how is this future going to be for a king of one of the kingdoms. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar was seeing it from how it was going to be for a king of a kingdom. Daniel was seeing how is his future going to be for a person of God, one united to God. Both Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel were looking at the very same future. Nebuchadnezzar was showing this is what it's going to be like for a king, for kingdoms like your kingdom. One will replace the other, and until this eternal kingdom comes. Daniel saw the same future, but was shown this is what the future holds. for the people of God. Kingdoms will come, kingdoms will go. Some will be much more frightening than others. They will all be against the kingdom of God. And Daniel experienced that when he was then thrown into the lion's den. Remember, he had this vision before the lion's den. Remember, we go back in time in chapter 7. So he had this vision before he was thrown in the lion's den. He was showing what's yet to come for God's people. That's one difference between Nebuchadnezzar's dream and Daniel's vision. The main message is that no matter what kingdom rises up, there will always be this clash with the kingdom of God. And please notice that you don't have to interpret which kingdoms are being represented to understand that message. Too often people get focused on, you know, what kingdom is what when they come to this chapter, trying to discern every little image in this chapter, figuring out what kingdom is what kingdom here and what's going on from history. Well, that's not the main message of the chapter. Daniel could understand this when he saw the vision before these kingdoms came. He only saw two of the kingdoms, Babylon and Medo-Persia. There's a message here that you can understand without understanding what historical kingdom is what. The message is it's going to be hard for God's people. This is going to be hard times. And one application we can make is the realization that this world is not our home. This world is not our home. You know, we're like Daniel was. Daniel was an exile. He wasn't in his home. Daniel was an exile, and we're like that. We're not in our home. We serve and honor whatever king is over us. We're Americans. We serve and honor our president. But this is not our home. This is not our kingdom. The kingdom we're in might treat us well for a time. Did Daniel for a time? The beast might also rise and bite us. This is not our home. That's the scary part of what Daniel saw. That's how his vision is different than Nebuchadnezzar's. Now, there's one other important difference as well. Namely, in Daniel's vision, Daniel gets focused on the fourth kingdom and on one detail, a detail Nebuchadnezzar didn't even see in that fourth kingdom. Namely, Daniel sees a person of power rise up in the fourth kingdom. Look at verse 8 again. It says, "And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things." Now, Nebuchadnezzar didn't see anything like that in his dream. And Daniel gets focused on this. Gets very focused on this. Look at verses 19 through 21. Daniel says, "Then I desired to know the truth about the fourth beast." See, he's focused now on the fourth beast, which was different from all the rest, exceedingly terrifying, with its teeth of iron and claws of bronze, in which devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet, and about the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn that came up, and before which three of them fell, the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things and that seemed greater than its companions. As I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them. Daniel doesn't ask about the other beasts. His attention gets drawn to the fourth beast, and particularly this little horn that rises up. He wants to know about that. Now, I'm not going to talk a lot about that little horn tonight. All I'm going to say is that the little horn ultimately refers to a man who has not yet come. The little horn ultimately refers to the Antichrist. The Antichrist is still yet to come. Daniel saw more of the future than Nebuchadnezzar did. He saw a man rising up in the end who will lead all kingdoms against Christ and his people. Look at what we're told in verses 23 through 25. "Thus he said, as for the fourth beast," this is now the interpretation now, "as for the fourth beast, there shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms. and it shall devour the whole earth and trample it down and break it to pieces. As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom 10 kings shall arise, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the former ones, and shall put down 3 kings. He shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and shall think to change the times and the law, and they shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and a half a time. When that little horn rises up, it's going to be a very, very hard time for God's people. It's going to be a shortened time, time times and half a time. It's going to be shortened, but it will be hard. The little horn is going to appear small, but it will be powerfully evil. That little horn will be the man, the Antichrist. And we're being told that here. We're being prepared. Daniel was being prepared. We're being prepared for this. Daniel's vision is alarming in that way. It's different in that way than Nebuchadnezzar's. But there's also a glorious, comforting aspect to Daniel's vision, a glorious part of it. Namely, we see Christ in more detail. Nebuchadnezzar saw the rock, which is a great image for Christ. But Daniel saw more detail. Let's listen now to verses 9 through 14. Follow along now in your Bibles as I read these verses. I don't have them on the screen. Just follow along. Verses 9 through 14. Consider here what we see of Christ. Way back in Daniel's day, there's these glorious verses about Christ. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were open. I looked then, because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking. And as I looked, the beast was killed, and its body destroyed, and given over to be burned with fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Here we have a clear reference to the Son of Man, a title Jesus himself would use of himself. And we see him given here a kingdom that will last forever, a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And we see here the beast and that little horn will be destroyed. We see people from every nation, from every language being saved and enjoying this eternal kingdom of the Son of Man. This is a great vision of Jesus who was born a man and who will one day come again on the clouds to reign forever. Way back in the days of Daniel, this vision was given. And it's going to happen. It's already partly happened. Jesus, the Son of Man, has become a man. He's come to this earth. He was lived in obedience to law. He went to the cross to save us, and he is going to come again. This vision is going to happen. Praise God, this vision is going to happen. This is a glorious part of the vision. Daniel's dream was frightening. But there is also this wonderful, assuring news in this vision. The beast and the little horn, they're not going to win the battle. The Ancient of Days and the Son of Man will. It's been declared. So, as we respond to this, we need to be ready for whatever might come. We need to be ready. We too might get thrown in the lion's den. We might even get eaten. But we can face all of that knowing with absolute assurance that the Son of Man, He is on our side. He is our King. We, from our standpoint, have already seen His first coming. Someday, we're going to have the joy of seeing His second coming. We can face anything knowing that great truth. That's how this chapter can bless us and strengthen us. It can help us stand firm for whatever we might face as God's people. Please bow with me in prayer. Father God Almighty, we thank You for giving us this vision so long ago that declares to us the coming kingdom, the kingdom that will never end, never be destroyed. We thank You that You gave us, way back in Daniel's day, a clear prophecy of the Son of Man, your Son whom You sent to be man for us. We thank You that we can know as we tasted and saw tonight from the sacrament that You've given us, that we are united to Him, the Son of Man. We are one with Him. We're thankful that we can know that we will therefore be in that eternal kingdom forever. Nothing can take that away from us. Oh, how good You are. Good You are to prepare us for what might come, what will come for some of Your people. How good You are to prepare us and give us this glorious news of the Son of Man. Thank You. Help us stand firm for You. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.